For your name above every other name, a name whereby men and women can be saved. We ask that you would bless us today, speak to us, touch the very core of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of our message for this morning, Beauty for Ashes. Beauty for Ashes. I'm going to come down and talk with you. This is my wife's flower, and don't tell her, but I broke a piece of it off as I was bringing it here. Don't tell her. But isn't it beautiful? Only God could do that. That's what I wanted to show you. God did this. I did this. Isn't that gorgeous? That was a gift to her, and she has nurtured it, and it continues to grow. And so I wanted to share that with you. I brought this because My late mother loved flowers. Welcome back. My mother loved flowers. My last thoughts of her was in her house in North Carolina. She had flowers all over the place. A very modest house. The house wasn't worth a whole lot, but the grounds were beautiful because my mother loved the flowers. So I wanted to share a flower with you. We're talking about beauty for ashes. I'm going to ask a few of you to stand if you would help me out. Hannah, would you stand? Just stand. Just stand right where you are. Jan, would you stand? Baby, would you stand? Let me see. Why not? Let me see who else. Jane. Would you stand, Jane? And Stella and Lorraine. Just stand. Just stand right where you are. George and Donald. Okay. You know what all of these individuals have in common? Anyone share to guess? They're all what? They're all standing. You're all right. Come on. What do you have in common? Kind of look at it. They're all in church, yes?
We all love the Lord.
Say that again, Wendy. That's exactly right. You read my notes. Did you hear what Wendy said? They are all beautiful. And you are. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, did they look alike? But they're all beautiful. I'm talking about beauty today. Beauty is a very interesting concept. It goes back and forth, our ideas about beauty. I asked my wife this question, this very question, and ladies, I want to save myself right now for what I'm getting ready to say. When I was researching this subject, and I looked up things regarding beauty, it didn't say much about the males, okay? It mainly talked about ladies. It did. What do you think has been a sign of beauty that has crossed cultures and history as it relates to an attribute of beauty that you would find a part of ladies? This has crossed culture and has crossed history. This has been fairly constant throughout history. Anybody care to guess? Hair? It's a good guess. No, that's not it. I would have thought the same thing. Eyes? That's what someone else, when I asked them this. Smile? Those are all good answers, but it's not the one that is the universal truth. Glow in the face, all of those are good ones, but that's not it. Weight? See, I'm glad you said that. I didn't say that. See, because I would get in trouble if I say that. Okay. No, but that's a good answer. Loving heart. I'm nurturing. No, all of those things are good things, but let me share with you, because I could probably spend a few minutes and it'd be difficult. Women giving birth? No, all of those are good, but the universal standard that has gone down through history and cross cultures is a woman's waist symmetry. Yeah, Tim is kind of onto a woman's waist. I was surprised by that answer, but when I thought about history, and if you remember Victorian England and so on, you remember they would wear those kinds of things that would just crunch you in. But don't worry about that, ladies, because you know what I found? And men? That beauty changes, and our standards of beauty. When I was growing up as an African American, if you had full lips, you would consider not as attractive. I'm just telling you, that's in my era when I was growing up. And today, people go to the doctor to get stuff put in their lips so it can be full. Am I right? So don't worry about it. The trends will come and go in terms of beauty. In the 50s, Marilyn Monroe was the standard. She was the template of beauty in the 50s. Everybody remember Marilyn Monroe? But if we were to put her today in some of these modeling things, they would send her to Weight Watchers. Come on, am I right? Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. So beauty will fluctuate on what our standards of beauty. But I don't think any of us would disagree with this. Amen? When we look at nature, we know what beauty is. We know. And so I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to spend a few minutes, beauty for ashes, beauty for ashes. We have been talking about the environment, so I'm going to end today my whole subject on environment. I'm just going to end it today just in the interest that I just can't finish it all anyway. I didn't get a lot of questions on it. I'm not sure if I made a hit or not talking about the environment, but I may come back to it, but I'm just going to conclude today and show you what God's plan for the environment is. And I think you have a hint of what it is. When God created the world, he pronounced in Genesis 1 and verse 31, God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day, was very good. And then when you read the book of Genesis, the second chapter, and specifically if you would read from verse 4 through verse 15, you'll find that as the history of the heavens and the earth were created, that God planted a garden in Eden. And all of us know that the Garden of Eden was beautiful. Remember the rivers that parted into four river heads, and you know, he put man in that beautiful garden to dress it and to keep it. And I believe that it was beautiful. But you know our problem? We've come a long ways from the Garden of Eden. Today, we substitute beauty and we put pretty in its place. We're thinking of things and we say they are pretty. And that's a comparative term that measures standards. And like I say, they can vary. And so we confuse today prettiness and attractiveness and even likability. And we say that these are beauty. But that's not. Beauty is so much more. In fact, I believe that whatever is truly beautiful is beautiful because God bestows the beauty on it. And God has given to us the capacity to see and take in beauty like no other creature. This was a very difficult sermon for me, and this will be a difficult sermon for you. And I ask you to just stay with me, because today we won't condemn anybody. We won't try to say anything negative. And that's hard for us. All I'm going to talk about is beauty. What a beautiful world God has created. Animals cannot look at the beauty of a sunset and appreciate it like you. Animals will write no poetry when they see the sunset. They will compose no music. They will not paint portraits when they see beauty. But when we see it, we look up in the sky on a starry night and we remember Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Oh, what a world God has created. And when I asked those individuals to stand, I could have picked all of you. I should have just asked everybody to stand. But I wanted to get the point. Do you know that you are beautiful? I started off the series about the environment, just talking similar kinds of things. But this was hard for me, because I like to embrace the sermon that I preach. So if I'm going to preach a particular thing, I like to believe in it. And so I had to spend all this week looking for beauty, because I know I was going to talk to you about beauty. Do you know how hard that is when you got a lot of stuff on your mind? And you hear a lot of negativity and a lot of things, then it makes it hard sometimes to see the beauty that's right in front of you. You have to strip off all the judgments and all the failures and all the unrealistic expectations, and you have to look for the image of God. Do you know that? I'm not talking about pretty. Maybe beauty is what the Apostle Peter expressed in 1 Peter 3:4, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Could it be that beauty is grace that we can call beauty? I see beauty in nature, and I see beauty in other human beings. How about you? But there's another place where we should see beauty that the Bible talks about. It's in Psalm 29:2. I want you to turn there. I want you to see the passage so that you can mark it. Psalm 29 and verse 2. I want you to see it so you can mark it. It's another place that we see beauty. And I want to take a few minutes to just unpack this. Psalm 29:2. Psalm 29:2. I'm going to read 1 and then get to 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. And worship the Lord in the beauty of what, everybody? Oh, what, everybody? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship is a beautiful thing. Oh, thank you for the few amens I got. Worship is a beautiful thing. You should see God in worship. And what could be more beautiful than that? You know, I believe that one of the first things that people should see when they approach the house of God is beauty. Can I share with you one of my visions for the church? Now, I know we were planning, for those who are guests, you may not know that, right outside we made plans to build a youth chapel right out front there. We had some stakes there, but that didn't work out. We're not sure which direction we're going. We're still working on some things. It still might happen. We're not sure. We're praying about that. But you know something? If we don't build that out there or whatever, you know what my vision is? My vision is that spot out there where it was going to be, that we would make that a place that is beautiful. That when people walk to the sidewalk of Fallbrook, they would open their mouths in awe of the beauty. Oh, help me, Jesus. I thought somebody from Fallbrook would say amen when I said that. I thought you would get excited when I said that. That the first thing they see before they enter this building on the left side would be, you know you've had to do that too, is beauty. Amen. And when they come in the door, because beauty is not just things and objects, when they walk in this door, they need to meet people with a smile on their face. When they walk in here, they need to know, hey, what's wrong with Jane? You look mighty happy. Could it be that you're in the presence of God? Shouldn't that make you happy? Shouldn't you have a smile on your face? Everybody can't look like they're eating lemons. Come on, I know you know where I'm going. That's the way it ought to be in God's house, because God is here. That's beauty. But you didn't unpack. What's the beauty of holiness? Well, I think to really understand that, we need to know what holiness is. And so I'd like to share with you just a little about holiness. Holiness is certainly more, but I like to think of three things. First of all, holiness is consecration to God. And what do I mean by that? Consecration to God of things, of places, of ceremonies. When you remember the story of Moses in the burning bush, do you know that around the area, the ground was holy? Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. Around the grounds were holy. A place can be holy. Things can be holy. Times can be holy. Seventh-day Adventists believe that the Sabbath is holy time. Amen? And when we read the scripture, that's Exodus 20 for those who may not know. But then we know that ceremonies, the great day of atonement, a great ceremony was holy. Amen? Consecration to God of places and times and ceremonies, that's holy. But I believe, number two, that holiness is likeness to God. That what I mean by that, it is being like God. We ought to be like God. Oh, help me, Jesus. We ought to be like God, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, Exodus 19 and verse 6. 1 Peter 1 and 16, but as he who called you is holy, you also ought to be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And that passage in 1 Peter comes from Leviticus 19, 1 and 2. So we should be like God. And number three, I believe holiness is God Himself. It is God's very nature. It is who God is. That's the highest idea of holiness. It's God. God's character. God's moral and spiritual perfection. 1 John 1 and verse 5 says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Oh, Jesus, help me. What a passage. None of us can qualify for that passage. Only God, where there's no darkness at all. Amen. What a passage. God is holy. And so I believe holiness is consecration to God, places and times and ceremonies. It's being like God. Holiness is likeness to God. It's not God, but it's a likeness to God. And then holiness is God Himself. So with that in mind, I would say holiness is Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. And I believe when we come to the beauty of holiness, we ought to see Jesus. When you come to church, you ought to see Jesus. When you walk and you see that beautiful nature outside and you see those lovely trees surrounding this campus, this church area, you ought to see Jesus. When you come in here and you look in the face of Justin, you ought to say, I see Jesus. Come on. Am I right? I see Jesus. Not outward beauty. You know what I'm so glad about? God, in His infinite wisdom, did not give us an exact portrait of Jesus. You know why? Some of us would have looked at Jesus and said, I don't like His looks. He made sure there was no portrait of Himself. I understand that now. In fact, that's why Isaiah 53, when it talks about Jesus, Isaiah 53 and verse 2 says, He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. God knew what He was doing. Yes, beauty in nature, and oh, how you're beautiful. And when we come to church, we ought to have the beauty of holiness because we're in God's presence. But then there's one more beauty, and that was the passage in Isaiah 61, the scripture that was read. Do you know this particular passage of Isaiah 61? Do you know this passage is found in the Gospel of St. Luke? You might want to mark this. Do you know when Jesus inaugurated His ministry? Guess what text He read? Guess what the first text He read in church to inaugurate His ministry? This exact same one in Isaiah 61. That sounds important to me. It's in Luke chapter 4. In verses, you can start around 18 and so on. You'll see it. But when it quotes that passage in the New Testament in Luke, it leaves out something that Isaiah has. And that's what I'd like to read for you as I find it real quick. Isaiah 61, I want to read the few things that were left out. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because of the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. We should never look down on the poor. Oh, I thought I'd get one amen, but that's okay. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and open up the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. Beauty in nature, beauty in people, beauty in holiness. Beauty of holiness and now beauty for ashes. You know, one day there is coming to this old world a change. This old world of sin, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. This earth where Satan set up camp and claimed us, there's going to be a change to this old world. This old world under the sin of the curse of sin and the only blot in God's glorious creation will be honored above all the other worlds in the universe. And Revelation 21:5 says, "And he that sat upon the throne says, Behold, I will make all things new." This world where our Savior suffered and bled and died in humiliation in order to save us. God is going to change this world. Get rid of the ashes and trade it in for beauty. Beauty for ashes. God's going to do something with this world. In the day the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose, and the wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of those who are deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap as a hart, and the tongue of the person who could not speak will start to sing. Isaiah 35:1-5. And the only way that you can miss beauty for ashes, in Revelation 21:8, if you're the fearful, or if you're the unbelieving, or if you're the abominable, or the vile, or the murderer, or the whoremonger, or the sexually immoral, or you're a sorcerer, those who practice the magic arts, or you're an idolater, or you're a liar, then you can't make it in. Unless you have those things and you have been redeemed. Isn't God good? Ashes, he's going to turn into beauty. That's why we can be here today. We have no reason to be here based on our characters. We're here because ashes has been turned into beauty. Oh, help me, Jesus. Isn't he good? Beauty for ashes. Revelation 21:14, just one day, just look at that and see the kind of place that God is preparing. In Isaiah 65:21, and they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. I can't wait to see the expression on my mother's face when she sees the world that God has prepared. When she sees the flowers, I want to be there just to see the expression on her face. Beauty. Jesus has gone in John 14 to prepare a place for you. You think it'll be beautiful? Do you really think? Do you think it'll be beautiful? Amen. You know, I believe that Christians ought to love beauty. And Christians ought to be beautiful people. I want to close with a quote from Acts of the Apostles, page 523. It is right to love beauty and desire it. But God desires us to love and seek first the highest beauty, and that which is imperishable. No outward adorning can compare in value and loveliness with that of a meek and quiet spirit. The fine linen, white and clean, which all the holy ones of the earth will wear. Beauty for ashes. I've asked my son to sing. I have no idea what he's going to sing. He didn't know what I was preaching, so we didn't coordinate it. But I love my son singing, so I asked him to sing. It's just simple as that. So you'll get whatever the Spirit directs, and may God be praised. No light. Thank you. Thank you.
I think we got it.
Carve out.
and mold and be the artist of my soul.
Artist of your soul? Would you let him create in you? Would you allow him to change ashes into beauty? You would allow him to do that in your life today. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty that we see in nature, the beauty that we see in others, and the beauty we see in you. Oh Lord, what a challenge to see beauty in this world of sin. And the only way for that to work is if we look in the face of Jesus. So we do that again and again and again. And thank you in Jesus' name for the environment that you have prepared for us. We plan to be there in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to remain standing as we close our service by singing one stanza of our closing hymn, 206, Face to Face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.